morning, everyone. Today's scripture reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 9 to 14, New International Version. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I've fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God. Yeah, thank you for that, Joanne. So this morning we're continuing our series in the parables. We're back in Luke's gospel again today, and looking at this interesting parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, which I've always found to be a bit of a challenging one to think through. Now, I am someone who likes to see myself as a conscientious person. I want to be seen as being considerate and respectful of others. And one place where I try to do this is while taking transit. Now, being without a car right now, I take transit a lot. I take SkyTrain and bus on my way to work or getting around the city. Now, if you've taken the SkyTrain, you'll know that there are these reserved seats for people who need to sit down. Now, you're allowed to sit in these spots if the train is not too busy and no one needs it, but if someone comes on the train and they need that spot, you better get up and give it to them. So one day, this was a couple years ago, I was taking the SkyTrain on my way to work, and I had taken a seat in one of these designated areas. I had my backpack on my lap, and I was lost in thought, and I didn't realize when an older man stepped on the busy train and needed that seat. Now, the woman sitting behind me did notice him, and after pausing, I guess, to see what I was going to do, if I was going to get up, she stood up very loudly and offered the man her seat. And then she hit me on the shoulder, and she scolded me for not giving that man my seat. And I was so surprised, I just froze. I didn't know how to react. Looking back, I wonder, because I had my backpack on my lap and she was behind me, if she thought I was a student and not like a professional on the way to work. But I was so embarrassed that my mistake had been broadcast to the whole train that I was very careful for the rest of the trip. So when a woman came on who looked like she might need a seat, I got right up and I offered it to her and I headed to another train car, like I was gonna get out of there. But instead of just taking the seat, this woman yelled loudly across the whole train car, "Thank you very much!" So in one transit ride, I was both publicly shamed and publicly praised. Now, this woman probably should not have hit a stranger on the train, right? But I have to admit, I've been that woman before in some ways. I have certainly silently judged people for not behaving according to certain standards. And the parable that we're looking today from Luke 18, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, touches on this tendency we can have to position ourselves as better or worse than those around us. And it challenges us to see things differently. So let's step into this story together. But I'd like for us to try to imagine what it might have looked like if it had taken place in Richmond today. So, it's early on a weekday morning, and two people step into an old church building before the start of the day. Both, it seems, want to have some time to pray. Standing at the very front of the sanctuary is a person who is highly respected in this church community. Everyone speaks well of them. Their reputation has spread because of all the charitable work they've done to benefit the broader community, and as a result, new people from the neighborhood have come to check out the church. This person is a great witness for Christ, we might say, the kind of person you'd be inspired by. Next, a second person steps into the sanctuary that morning. Instead of moving to the front, they stand at the very back. This is an individual that most of the congregation would be surprised to know had stepped foot in a church at all. They are known by reputation and not a good one. There are stories circulating about them, though nothing was ever proven. Shady business dealings that left people worse off, people who once trusted them who won't anymore. And because of this way they do business, they have become wealthy and they live a very comfortable life. At first glance, which person are you more drawn to as you observe this scene? The inspiring leader whose work has helped to change many lives, or the one checking their Rolex at the back of the church, seeing how much time they can spare before their next meeting? Let's move in a bit closer to hear what each of them is saying. So, the respected leader, noticing that this other person has come in, someone who represents everything they think is wrong with the city, prays in this way: God, I thank you so much for keeping me from evil. I don't steal from anyone. I haven't had any moral failing. And thank you that by your grace, I'm not like that person either. I spend my time serving others, and I don't exploit people to get rich. Next, we move to the back of the sanctuary, to where this second person stands alone. And we have to lean in a bit to hear what they're saying, because they are emotional and their voice cracks. They cover their face and they say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Which person do you think walked out that morning right before God? For the first listeners of this parable, it would have been hands down the churchgoer who would be in the right, who would be justified. They had lived a good and a righteous life. And if we didn't know the end of the story by just having heard it read, we might be tempted to think the same. But it's actually the one who spent their life benefiting off the misfortune of others and not the respected church member who goes home that day justified before God. Because Jesus says, in God's kingdom, those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Do you feel uncomfortable with this story? I mean, I certainly do. Surely a well-lived life outweighs a moment of repentance, right? How we choose to live our lives should count for something. This is how Jesus' listeners might have felt as they heard his parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee in this story would have been respected and admired. This person had given their life in service of God. He should have been the model in this story, the one who got things right. And this Pharisee had gone over and above as well. Fasting twice a week was not something required by the law. He was doing more than what was required. The tax collector, on the other hand, was seen as a traitor to his people. He collected taxes on behalf of the oppressors, the Roman Empire, and got rich by skimming a bit of extra off the top as well, taking from his own people to fill his bank account. If we were to make a tally, all the good things this Pharisee did would definitely outweigh any good done by this tax collector. There's no comparison here. So how is it that the tax collector comes out on top? Well, of course, a life lived in service of a neighbor is a good thing, but it isn't the thing that makes us right with God. A well-lived life is an outflow of living in God's kingdom. It's not what gets us in. So this parable challenges us to see things differently, and it's an invitation to humility. If we look back up to verse 9, we are told why Jesus is telling this story in the first place. We read, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable." And this helps us to understand what he's trying to say here. Jesus is speaking to those who know they are right and who look down on those who don't measure up. So let's take a closer look at each of these two people and unpack this a bit more. The Pharisee. So the problem is not that he's lived a good life. The problem was how he saw himself, God, and his neighbor. It wasn't wrong for him to think that living a good life mattered, but it was wrong for him to treat it as the basis of his standing before God, rather than the fruit of it. And this attitude shows up clearly in his prayer. The first listeners of this parable would have actually been surprised to see the pride they see show up in this Pharisee's prayer, not what you would expect from a religious leader. His prayer is completely about himself. His words reflect a belief that his accomplishments are what make him acceptable to God. And he notes that he's gone above and beyond in both fasting and tithing. And because of his self-assured pride, he looks down on the tax collector who hasn't lived the good life that he has. I think if we step back here for a moment and observe our culture a bit today, we seem to be living in a time where this kind of thinking is increasingly common. We can categorize people as being either this or that, in or out, good or bad. It's easy for us to take the moral high ground, isn't it? Saying, "Lord, thank you that I'm not like those people," or maybe even, "Thank you, Lord, that I don't judge people like those other people do." But Jesus challenges this whole way of thinking. He invites us to see both ourselves and others differently, to look through a lens of humility, because can any of us actually say we get everything right all the time? It's interesting that for all this Pharisee's good work, his attitude towards the tax collector shows a lack of love. While he goes above and beyond in other aspects of the law, like fasting and tithing, he fails to do what is most important, to extend love to this tax collector. He doesn't love his neighbor as himself. So, for those of us who trust in our own righteousness and look down on others, this parable is for us. But we'll also see that for those of us who just can't pull it all together, for those who recognize our need for help, this parable is for us too. Because the good news is that it is God's work on our behalf that justifies us, that makes us right with him. And because of this, we are free to extend that same grace to others. Next, the tax collector. Let's look at the prayer of the tax collector now. We read that standing at the back, he could not even look up. Instead, he beats his breast and says, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." The word that is used here for mercy is not the usual one used to describe that. It literally means here to make atonement for sin. So we might translate this man as praying, "O Lord, make atonement for me." Not just a plea for mercy, but a request for someone to do for him what he can't possibly do for himself. And he knows it. It's significant that this story takes place in the temple, where sacrifices were made to make atonement for sin. So while the Pharisee goes right to the front, confident in his standing before God, the tax collector asks God to do for him what he can't do for himself. And he is the one who goes home justified. He understands how grace works. The pride of this Pharisee is misplaced because for all his good work, it wasn't this that made him acceptable for God. The tax collector got it right and was justified. So the invitation here as well is to humility, to recognize that none of us get it right all the time or see things clearly, exactly as they are. And we, too, are to ask God to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. This is why we need the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. In humility, we are invited to ask him for help. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. This is the prayer of those who know they can't pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. It's a prayer for those who are at the end of their rope, for those who can't live the life that is expected of them, who have seen time and time again that they just can't do it by themselves. But it's not about what we can do or can't do. It's about what someone else chose to do for us. Pride, as we see in the Pharisee, distorts our view of God, ourselves, and others. Pride polarizes. It divides us into camps. I'm right and you're wrong. I'm good and you're bad. Humility, on the other hand, restores relationship. It evens the playing field because it allows us to recognize our need and to ask God for help. I wonder if the tax collector almost had the advantage in a way. Maybe it was easier for him to realize that he couldn't make atonement for himself. It was he and not the other who went home justified before God that day. He was made right by his request for mercy. So I think an invitation for us today in this text is to take a deep breath. We don't have to perform or prove that we are better than anyone else. We have been made right with God not because we've done it all perfectly, but because Jesus did it for us. And if we really get this, it will become easier to extend grace to ourselves and to those who come across our path. Instead of silently judging that person on the SkyTrain that I might be tempted to do, we might realize that maybe we don't always get it right ourselves either. And yet we are loved and accepted by our Creator. So after the morning prayer, both people head off for the day, the first person to their charitable work and the second to their first meeting of the morning. I wonder what happens next. Does the churchgoer realize their pride? Does the other person go back to their corrupt practices? We don't know, but that's not what this story is about. It's about realizing that we can't do it for ourselves. Instead, we are to ask God for mercy and accept the welcome that he offers. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for all that you have done on our behalf. Would you extend your mercy to us today as we recognize that we can't do it on our own? Forgive us for the times when we live as if we could. Enable us to love our neighbor as you have loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.